Look at what Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians. He says in verse number 2, now of course he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I know that the anniversary of my being called to this church has passed. But I want to express tonight, and I know that it's not an ordinary sermon. Normally we want to challenge and inspire and all those things, and hopefully we'll get that too. But you know, I love our church. I love Jesus. I love His Word. And I'm thankful for the life that God has given me. Understand something. It's not that I don't have any struggles. It's not that it's easy all the time. And, you know, I've said I don't stress. And it's not that there's never stressful times. It's not that there's nothing I would change. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm thankful for what I got. I'm thankful for what God has given me and calling me to this church those years ago and allowing me to remain here. And I'll tell you, there's been a few times, only a handful of times along the way, where I thought that might not be the case. But God has seen us through. And I see what Paul says in verse 2, and his desire for that church is my desire for you, that you would experience the grace and the peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my desire. That's what I want for every member of the church. And our friends, we say friends, those who are not members but are regular in the church. My desire is God's grace in your life, that you would experience the touch of God, the favor of God, the presence of God. See, God is omnipresent. That means there's nowhere you can go and not be in the presence of God. And yet, we don't always sense the presence of God. My desire is that you will sense His presence, that you will know He's there, not just so He'll keep us from evil, but that we can enjoy His fellowship. It's just so much. It's so fulfilling to walk with Him in a sense, not just in living a Christian life, but in knowing that He's there. You know, He said, if I go, I'll send another. And I got to go so I can send the other one. And the paraclete, the comforter, the term means the one that comes alongside. He's beside us, the Holy Spirit of God. And you say, well, He's inside us. Yes, Jesus said that too. But the sense is, or the message that He wants us to receive is that we're never alone. Never alone. He's always with us, always in our presence, and we're always in His presence. My desire of God's touch in your life is for your body. How many of you want God to touch your body? We need that, don't we? Your mind, your spirit, your family, your attitude. I'm not saying you got a bad one, but a touch from God will never hurt. Your faith, your testimony, your ministry. You see, each one of us has ministry because there are people that you talk to and they call you for counseling. There are people who turn to you and look to you for Christian guidance who don't come in this building and they don't call a pastor. You're the one they turn to. You have a ministry. And so my prayer is that God will bring grace and peace through and to your ministry. My desire is that your prayers will be answered, so that when you pray, you can see God's hand at work. My desire is that we'll not only sense His presence, but that when we pray, that we will expect His answer. That we will anticipate His answer and that we will accept whatever that answer is. That we will embrace that answer, knowing it is God's perfect will and perfect plan and perfect design. Now, let me say this. Not everything that happens in our lives is God's perfect plan. It's just the case. If everything that happened in our lives was God's perfect plan, then that would mean God made me sin. I had somebody ask me that one time. And he said, Pastor, if God knows everything, then he knew I was going to be this way. Now, his particular problem was alcohol. And he said, if God knew I was going to be this way, then how is it my fault? God didn't change me. Unfortunately, God has a perfect plan, and we don't always follow it. If we always followed it, there would be no such thing as sin. My desire is that God would have his perfect way in your life. And I'm talking about everybody, all of our church family and friends. Look at what he says in verse number 3. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. It is appropriate. Guys, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be grateful. We ought to see God's blessings on our lives through others. Look, God said to Abraham, I will make you a blessing. I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing. And that should be our understanding of our purpose, that God will bless us and that he will bless through us, that he will make us a blessing to others. We ought to be a blessing. And we ought to look around those around us and appreciate what a blessing they are. You know, the anniversary rolling by, it always gives me an opportunity to go back and remember those early days. I mean, the first Sunday and the second Sunday I was here before they called me. And meeting the people. And, you know, the church has grown since then. So a lot of the faces, a lot of those people are gone to heaven. But I'm still thankful for them. And through those early days, and by the way, a lot of them are still here. We still got a lot of the ones that have been here from the beginning. Bless your heart. But God's been good to us. And I'm bound, it is appropriate, it is meet, it is right to be thankful always for you. Guys, I love my church. If you ever get the mind that this preacher doesn't love you, call me and ask me when I stopped loving you. Ask me what happened. That's okay. We'll talk it out. We'll figure it out. And I've had people call and say, are you mad at me or did I do something? And it's just misunderstanding and miscommunication. Guys, I love our church. I love you. And I'm grateful for everybody that's part of this church. He says, we're bound to give thanks. Look at what he says. Because your faith groweth exceedingly. I've seen what God can do through people. Let me say it this way. When I came here 16 years ago, Capitol Heights Baptist Church embraced a broken, defeated man with no intention of ever pastoring again and showed me grace and love, just as Paul talked about there. You loved me, encouraged me, even counseled me. I mean, I'm not old, but I was younger then. And all of that has played together. It's all worked together. And together, we have ministered to broken, defeated people who needed to know that they still belong somewhere, to know that somebody still cared, that somebody would love them where they were, as they were, but also encourage them to grow. Guys, we ought to love people where they are and how they are, but we need to encourage them to get better, to grow in Christ, to grow in faith, to grow in grace. And we have ministered and loved and taught. Taught the word. By the way, we fought off some wolves in those years. We stuck together. God has used us. Those who are simply looking for a loving church, a traditional church, old style church. Those who are looking for a Savior. Those who are looking for answers. And when they come through those doors, they find that. Friendship and love and encouragement and grace. As Paul says to the church of Thessalonica, your faith groweth exceedingly. And I have seen people grow in their faith. Many times when they come in and they begin to just eat up the word, they love the Bible. Guys, that message this morning didn't come from Derek. This message tonight, I'm not making it up as I go. It's in here. See, that's the great thing. That's what people are hungry for. People are not looking for a church that will compromise and embrace them in their sin. People are looking for a church that will love them and show them the way out of their sin, the way of salvation and the way of grace and the way to God and the way to heaven. That's what they're looking for. And when we water it down, they might as well have gone to Wendy's. At least then they could have gotten a Frosty. Guys, we got to preach the word. Give them Jesus. And that's what he's talking about here. And I've seen the growth in the church and the individuals. And look at what he says next. And the charity. Your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other. Each other. Within these walls. Within this church family. Guys, I repeat it because it is relevant. The way that this church loves each other. I recall a time being in the rehab center and visiting, and I just remember at one point we had about 8 people in that room, right? 8 people visiting somebody. Just happened to all be there at the same time. Many times there are different people in the church that go visiting and call and do the different things. But at one time, the rehab room was full of people from the church checking on their brother. The charity, the love of the church. And you say, well, Pastor, how come there's never 8 people in my room? Well, hopefully they take turns and roll through. Of course, there are some people who tell me not to go to the hospital. I'm not mentioning any names. Pray for me, but don't come up here. All right. But here's my point. The ministry of this church is carried out outside these walls. That's where it happens. That's where we got to carry our faith. You see, it's easy to come in here and be a Christian. It's easy to come in here and preach the gospel. It's easy to come in here and have faith. But when we go out there, that's where it's needed. That's like coming in here with your flashlight, and then when you go outside, turn it off. And it's dark outside. That's where we need it. In here, there's plenty of light. In here, there's plenty of grace. But the ministry takes place outside of these walls. And it's real, and it's true in the membership of the church. It's not a matter that the deacon should do it or the preacher should do it. Everybody does it. That's how it's supposed to be. By the way, deacons are supposed to do it and preachers are supposed to do it. But everybody's supposed to do it. It's not a profession. It's ministry. And so I'm glad that we have a church where the charity aboundeth. Verse 4, he said, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith. Paul says, when I go to other churches, I brag on y'all. Have you ever heard a preacher, a guest preacher at another church, and he goes and then he trashes his church and trashes his people and talks bad about them? I've heard that. I've got to be careful nowadays because everything's recorded. Get it back. Promise you it will. But I, like Paul, I say Capitol Heights Baptist Church, I glory in this church. I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful to be part of it. Double blessing to be the pastor, but to be part of these people, of you, and the many that are at home, this church. He says, I glory in you for your patience and your faith. He says, you've got patience and you've got faith. We need to have urgency and patience. There's an urgent need, but we have to be patient to see how it works out. Paul said, I glory in your patience and your faith. When? Look at what he says, in your tribulation, in your troubles. And I guess there's a balance to this question, but you see, we go through trouble so that the world can see the difference of a believer going through it and an unbeliever going through it. If God made our lives perfect, of course everybody would want to get saved. But he ought to be able to see, they ought to be able to see something in us. And I had a pastor's wife who was my teacher at the time. I was a teenager. And she said, and she was, you know, there was something going on in her life and she was really just breaking down. And I went to her and talked to her. And she said, I just wonder how you keep your composure through all this. How can you go through this with the peace that you seem to have? Guys, that's the way it should be for Christians. Everybody does it differently. Everybody experiences it differently. I'm not condemning you for the way you grieve or the way you stress or the way you worry. I'm not getting on anybody about that. But I'm just saying the world ought to be able to see a difference in a child of God. In that peace that passes understanding and knowing that we're with him and knowing that whatever goes on in our lives, he's there. He's there. Let me just take you to one other place, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. You may already know what it is, but I just want to finish up with this. Paul, the writer of Hebrews, in chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Do you know what came just before chapter 12? Anybody got a guess? Chapter 11, thank you. Sister Gardner, I was expecting Bill or Thurman or somebody. Sister Gardner finally said, chapter 11? All right, the chapter of faith, the heroes, the hall of faith, we call it. The great heroes of the Bible, of history. And he says in chapter 12, verse 1, we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. He said, those were heroes. And he said, there's heroes among us. Guys, we're not... Abraham was not Superman. He was a man like you. Rachel, Sarah, Dinah, these women of Ruth, these women of the Old Testament, they have anything on you. Same God, capable of doing the same great things. We are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. And he says, be mindful that we have great people, just like in the Hall of Faith, just like in the Old Testament, the patriarchs, the matriarchs, these leaders, these pioneers of faith. And he says, there's people like that among us, so let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When I think about the time that we've had together, and I know some have not been here the whole time, but I'm glad for everybody that's a part of this church. I'm thankful. It is a privilege to be here. And I am your servant, like we talked about in Sunday school. I'm the servant of the church, not the Lord of the church. I'm not the church manager. I'm the church servant. And I'm here at your pleasure. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful we've got a great church. I'm thankful you're part of that. Let's do the work God called us to do. Let's run with patience the race that is set before us. keeping our eyes not on the preacher, keeping our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Let's stand. Father, we are grateful tonight, and I know it's not really a traditional type of sermon, but just felt so compelled to express my appreciation and love for this body of believers, my church family. God, thank you for the time that we have together, the days that are ahead of us, where we can make a difference for eternity. And I pray that we will. It is my desire for grace and peace and the touch of heaven to be upon our people. God, make me a better pastor, a better preacher, a better friend, a better brother. Show me the way. Dismiss us now with your grace, with your favor, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.